want a fish, 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 fish. Yes, indeed. Going back fishing again. This is Fishing Frank, and we're doing another radio fishing. Yeah, gee, that's a surprise. You're actually clicking on things as radio fishing. We're doing a radio fishing.
How about that?
Yeah, Captain Obvious here. All right. Well, we got Captain Kale with us today, and we're kind of getting back. And Captain Kale, welcome to the program again.
Howdy.
Hey there. Oh, yes, it's always nice, you know, to be appreciated. Everybody just...
Some nice warm applause for these cold mornings.
Yes, and it just is cold. I mean, we were talking...
Yes, it is.
I was with Captain Tom Fisher here a little while ago, and everything we talk about is just because it's chilly.
Yeah, it's cold. I actually had to break out the old wool socks for yesterday, and I shouldn't have to do that.
So you have wool socks on yesterday?
I had wool socks on yesterday.
Now, where was your client from yesterday that he actually didn't cancel? He was from Maine. Now, you did say he showed up with some clothes on.
Yeah, he had sandals on, but at least he had socks on underneath them.
Well, that's always a nice touch, yeah. Put the sandals on under the socks.
Yep.
So, anyway, you were out on a charter yesterday.
Yeah, it... The plan was to run all the way down to Turtle Bay, and we got to about the mouth of the Myakka River and said, that's not happening.
Yeah, this is cold enough. It's far enough. I'm done. I don't need to do this anymore.
I probably should have kept on going. It would have been worth it, I think, but it was already 4-foot waves in the mouth of the Myakka, and I knew it would lay right down in the afternoon, but... What good's it do when it's 40 degrees out and you're getting everybody soaking wet? Yeah. It's just not a fun day.
No, it's better to back off and...
Yep.
Better part of valor sometimes.
Yep, plan B.
Plan B, yep. So, you did the cutoff yesterday?
Did a little bit the cutoff. We started in Trout Creek. Did really good in Trout Creek in the morning, which was kind of surprising. Lots of sheephead in there.
How much water did you have getting into Trout Creek yesterday?
I got in just fine. Out was a different story.
A little trouble getting out?
Yeah, and like Mike had mentioned earlier, that entrance has changed.
Yeah,
it has changed since I have been in there, which was springtime of last year was the last time I think I was up in there.
So what happened?
When you come out in the center, there used to be a small mound out there. Not quite a sandbar.
No, pretty much a sandbar. It was mounded up. And you had to go to the north end to get out.
Right. And now you can swing almost parallel to the shoreline towards El Jabin.
Right.
It's that sandbar has gotten bigger, and it's made a trough on the El Jabin side of it.
Right, north end.
Used to be I could run straight out of it without a problem.
Now you're going to be swinging way. Yeah, you've either got to swing. You got to follow that right hand or left hand shoreline
or the right.
Yeah, well, left is way better. But if you take that northern edge and then make that swing going north and go about I'd say 50-100 feet and then cut out and then angle back towards where you originally were.
Right. Right.
If you go straight out, it's not as good. You got to kind of come out, hook a left, and then bear
much,
out straight.
Yeah, it's
a little
much, much more pronounced now. That little cut to the north has gotten deeper, which is going to be a good thing. It's one of those places that's going to now become a highway for fish to come in and out of there as the tide comes in and out. So it's going to be a good place to fish.
Yeah. So what'd you catch up in Trout Creek?
We put a couple sheephead in the well right away, and then it wasn't long after that the redfish started biting. Caught a bunch of small redfish, lost a big redfish in there, caught some trout, and I didn't go that far up in. Most guys run way up into the back of Trout Creek. We've got Greg's Corner, we've got Carl's Corner, and
right.
I stick pretty much right down in the mouth of it.
I like that beginning right where the bar splits.
Yep.
You know, I like fishing right before the island. I can fish both sides of the bar, and I've caught plenty of fish there without having to run all the way to the back. But so you did okay. You got a couple of nice sheephead in there. You got some smaller redfish, a little bit of trout, and decided to pull out.
Yeah, then we headed to the Myakka cutoff.
Now, it's a lot of little trout. Get any mackerel at the mouth of that?
Actually, no. We were up at the Elgin end.
Oh, you went to the north
end. Yeah, we went to the north end. Caught some trout in there. There was a whole bunch of silver trout in there.
Really?
Yeah, whole bunch.
I fished that thing on and off for years. I bet you I maybe caught one in all the years I fished
there. There was a million of them in there.
Wow, that's unusual.
And then we picked up and headed deeper into the cut.
Now, one of my favorite things for as far as watching fish goes, and we were sitting there, and I had three customers in the boat, and we're sitting there, we're fishing in the horseshoe, and we've been catching some real nice trout going up just where the water bounces up off that ledge.
Yep.
And behind us against the island, you got the pronounced island, and you got the little islands that keep going back in.
Right.
All of a sudden, the water just picks up. And I mean, it comes up 8 inches. The water just raises up. And this massive wave starts heading towards the shoreline. And all this bait fish starts popping out of the water. And bait's going crazy. And the water's pushing up. Huge school of redfish all pushed up against the shoreline. I'm standing there. The customers are there. Everybody's just looking.
Everybody just shifted into neutral to watch it.
We're just frozen in moment. And all of a sudden, it all happened. And then it was gone. I mean, the whole thing lasted maybe a minute at tops. But nobody spoke. Nobody said anything. We're just staring at this. And it is just an eruption.
It's not something you expect to see.
And, you know, there's no way to describe it, really, except your heart's pounding. You're sitting there. Eyes are wide open, staring at this thing. Your jaws are open.
Yep.
Then the next thing you know, it's gone. And we're all looking at each other. I guess we should have went over there and fished, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we could have moved.
I'm usually the one that reacts first and starts yelling, would somebody please cast something?
Yeah. Oh, it was too far away to cast. This was, I would say, 500 yards from us.
Gotcha.
Easy 200 yards, maybe more. It was way back inside an island I never go to because it's really from the edge of the water coming out. It's such a gradual slope that there's really no water back there to hold the fish. But those redfish all came up in a big school and just herded the bait up against the shore. The bait was flopping up on sand. It was going over the top of the redfish.
Cool. That's always cool to watch.
It's
always cool.
Yeah, I mean, it just struck me big time. One of my goals this year is to go out and the other thing I haven't seen in so long, and I really want to watch it again, and I'm going to go out and spend a lot of time, is the black drum spawning in the harbor. The last few years, they've started spawning again, and you've got
in big schools.
Yeah, 60-pound fish. Yeah. There's 1,000 fish in the school, and all of a sudden, they just erupt like a school bonita going crazy.
Yeah, and they eat when they breed, so it's a great time to catch them.
Yeah, they're, I mean,
and much easier.
Me personally,
to catch
I don't need a snack in the middle of it, but they seem to want one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the nice thing about it is there's nothing to fight them with. I mean, you don't have to worry about docks and boats and pilings. And,
no, it's open water, so anything you cast in there, as long as you're using about 30-pound leader, get a halfway decent hook set, and the fish is yours if you have patience.
Go out there with light tackle.
And but
break
it's
out the
all,
trout rods.
It's all about time spent with that fish.
Yep.
And it's a long release time because once you fight that fish all the way up, it's a long time holding them in the water.
And
just hold them by the tail and just let them relax. Don't swish them around. Just let them sit there and relax. He's had a long, hard day.
Yeah.
So lots of
and
relaxation.
The nice thing about redfish or the black drum is they're a very hardy fish. So not like you're gonna hurt them. Yeah, you're gonna tire them out, and you got to take care of them. But you're not gonna kill them. And it's not like a tarpon where you're gonna fight it to death.
What I like is I've caught 40-pound black drum on 10-pound mono.
Yep.
And landed them. You know, just took my time and got them. I've had other ones where I'm using 50-pound test tarpon fishing, and hook a black drum and have him come up, and just slam his head over and snap the line like it wasn't there.
Yeah.
You don't know which one you're gonna get.
If you watch them in the canals, they're not doing anything quickly.
Huh.
They just kind of mosey around, and they kind of fight the same way, too. But every once in a while, like you said, you get that one that hits the switch, and Yeah, they're gone.
You've upset this fish. I mean, he is mad.
60-pound fish is still a 60-pound fish when it wants to be.
And when you get him upset, I mean, literally, come up just wham with their head and snap 50-pound like it wasn't there.
If we could get 60-pound mangrove snapper in this harbor, nobody'd fish for tarpon anymore.
I wouldn't go in the water. I'm sorry.
Nobody would fish for tarpon.
If there were 60-pound mangrove snappers, I would not get in the water.
Yep.
No way. That'd be...
Be like piranha.
Yeah, no, and they got great... Can you imagine the size of a tooth on one of those? I mean, that would be like getting mauled by a lion.
Yep.
You know?
Not far off.
So
not far off.
Anyway, sorry guys, but we're going back to the cutoff. You're back there catching some trout.
We went further into the cutoff. The only thing we got back there was stuck. There was zero water in the cutoff.
Yeah, I was surprised that, you know, you decided to go up further in.
Well,
I made the same decision with the same result, you know, but
I wanted to go down towards the Port Charlotte side. And I wanted to hit one of those creeks on the right because those creeks are nice and deep.
A lot of water. If you can get to them.
Yeah, if you can get to them, that's where the fish are going to be.
Yeah, because it's so shallow. Enough. I've actually used to fish there a lot when the sandbar, when you come in that whole eastern right side, literally 4 to 6 inches out of the water.
Yep.
And there was no way to get back there. But as soon as that water came up, I'd stay there, fish the holes. And then as soon as that water came up, get in that creek because they're hungry. They've been stuck in there.
Yeah, if I'd have come in from the Port Charlotte side, if I'd have went out and around, I'd have probably made it to the creek without a problem. But I got stuck half a mile into it from the north end. And
just to the, almost to the narrows. Yep.
Yeah, if I'd have made it to the S-turns, I'd have been fine. I could see them.
I love that. I'm sitting all the way at the end, and you come around that corner, you got that long, straight line of mangroves there, and it's like coming down a little highway. And to the left, it kind of goes in and out with bays and creeks and all that, but that right has got that solid wall on it, and you think, okay, I've got it now, and then all of a sudden, whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Why is my wake brown?
So... Yeah, that's...
But it was a challenging day. In the end, it turned out to be a better day than I expected. It was one of those days that start with a question mark. You know, we dropped all the way down to frost.
Right.
And, you know, that's going to drop the water temperature. Didn't drop it as much as I thought. It was 50... I think it was 57 upriver. It was... 59 in Trout Creek and in the cutoff.
Still, that means the snook are sleeping. The trout should be nice and active. Redfish, they're not going to be real happy, but the sheephead.
Sheephead were spun right up.
I think this is going to be a much better year than I thought for sheephead because of the amount of cold weather we've had. The sheephead are coming in off the reefs. They're coming in. They're coming all the way into the back bay.
Yeah, they're finally starting to be where they should have been probably a month ago.
Yeah, I didn't think we were going to have much of a season, but this is turning out to be one of the best years for big sheephead we've had in forever.
And they're definitely big. We caught more big sheephead yesterday than we did little guys.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing this year because of this week of cold weather. Yeah. This is going to last another week.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
And this is what we've been waiting for. This is what, you know, you hear us talk about this cold weather pushing them into the rivers and pushing them into the canals, and this is what's finally going to do it. Once we get down below 60 and it stays below 60, they're heading for deeper, browner water.
Yeah, they're going to look for the canals. That's what everything's going to be about. But let's get down to where today, what's going to be good bet? I mean, we got beautiful sunny afternoons. Boy, if you can get out of the wind, it is gorgeous here right now. Today, sun is shining. It's beautiful. And if you're in the wind, or if you're in the sun, it's warm.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in the shade and in the wind, it's actually really pretty cold. But
today I would put a question mark on, too. It's still a little early into those temperatures, and those fish are still in that transition zone. I would probably try... with our tides being low in the morning and deep in the afternoon, I would probably try the deeper water in the morning and move my way onto the flats. You know, the next day, in the couple days thereafter where we've stayed cold, I'm going to probably stick to deeper water. But because we're still in that transition zone, the fish know it's flow, but they're still
58,
moving.
58. I'm saying they're past that transition. They're going to be where they are.
Well, I've only been there for a day, though, or 2 days now. I still think that they're still making their way to where they need to be.
I don't know. I'm going to disagree with that. I'm gonna think they're pretty much where they're going to be. I think they're just not hitting in the mornings because it's chilly.
Yeah.
I think they're waiting to the afternoon, get that sun. They're going to come up close to the surface, lay in that brown water and get warm.
Yesterday was just the opposite of that. I expected that yesterday. I expected it to be slow in the morning and pick up in the afternoon, and it was completely the opposite. Because after we left the Myakka Cutoff, we went back to Trout Creek.
Right.
Because before I left Trout Creek, I went down the shoreline nice and slow. And there was a pile of redfish in there, all shapes and sizes. And I thought, okay, we've been sitting here fishing this all day. We're picking redfish off on the ledge. These things are underneath the mangroves, but they're not hitting. Okay, let's wait until the water deepens up, switches to incoming, and see. Let it get a few degrees warmer. Do what we need to do.
Now, to
didn't
me,
make a difference.
Incoming tide is the worst one to fish right now. The water's cold, and they're getting that influx of cold water from the Gulf, from the harbor. If you can get on the outgoing tides, you're getting all that water, especially a later in the day outgoing tide. That water sitting in those tidal ponds, it's 2 foot deep, it's black, it's brown, black bottoms, brown water.
Yep,
that warm water is going to be coming out.
Starts flushing out.
But that warms it up. But that incoming tide's a kiss of death right now.
Yeah, and I would have really wish I'd have paid attention to the water temperature once it did switch to incoming. Because you would have probably seen that 2 or 3 degree difference.
Yeah, I bet it would. I bet you there's an easy 2 to 3 degrees difference between incoming and outgoing right now.
It doesn't, you know, to us, you know, 2 or 3 degrees doesn't make a difference.
32 to 35, 32 you know. Degrees, the water's real hard. At 35, it's not.
Yeah, but, I mean, what's the difference to us from 68 to 71? Nothing. We don't notice it, but fish do.
Well, I do. I'm telling you, I can tell when I go out because, well, I'm a smoker, and so I go outside to smoke because I don't want to have to clean the walls in the house, you know. And we go sit outside, and at 71, I enjoy it out there. At 58, I don't want to be out there. It's too cold.
That's 13 degrees. That is a big difference.
No, I mean 68. I mean, there's 4 degrees to me outside makes a big difference, but I'm a wuss. You know, there's no doubt about it. I'm a wuss.
No, I don't feel that 3 or 4 degrees. I got a lot more insulation than you do, though. So
yeah, I'm getting skinny. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm 20-some pounds in the last month or two. So anyway.
Well, that's getting into tapeworm territory.
Yeah. Yeah. I almost think I swallowed one. I don't know what's wrong with me. But anyway, everything else is going along pretty good. I got to tell you, I was doing books and everything else. Store's doing well. Even with the cold weather, everything's still going good here. We're seeing a lot of people being much more innovative. Tom Fish, he's got that jerkbait with the little spinner thing underneath it.
Yeah.
He's doing good drifting the flats. Hearing a lot more about drifting.
I'll tell you what, I had a client out 2 days ago, and he was, I don't know what Tom's doing with a spinnerbait. This guy's taking that Redfish Magic spinnerbait and putting a shrimp on it.
You just remind me of something I forgot to order. I gotta tell your wife we need more than two
and
baits.
And let's it sit on the bottom.
Spinnerbait and let it sit on the
let's
bottom?
Let's it sit right on the bottom.
What's he putting on there?
A shrimp.
Okay.
Puts a shrimp on the spinnerbait, plops it on the bottom in the current.
And just like
it's one of those things where
the spinner would move.
You look at it and, damn, that's ingenious.
Yeah.
Why didn't I think of that? It's so simple and rudimentary. That,
especially an Indiana blade or a Colorado blade, a small round one.
You set that thing on the bottom and now you got the blade spinning above it. I mean, and he was just absolutely massacring trout with it.
I'm waiting. I want to do a show with Carl because Carl has got, he claims it's the best jig head to use with a live shrimp. And that's the Rockport Rattlers. That's the other thing we're ordering a ton of. They sat there for a long time, but now the guys are using them, jig heads with live shrimp. Yeah. It is rocking everybody.
Even I've started using jig heads with live shrimp. And When was the last time you saw me touch a jig head?
No.
I hate jig heads.
And I can tell you, the Rockport Rattler, it's got that glass rattle in it.
It works.
Yeah, he was telling me, I mean, I'm going to let him tell it on the show, but I'll tell you, he was catching a lot of fish. He accidentally, with his pliers, broke the rattle.
Yeah.
And it was down just like every other jig head. But it was many fish to one on the Rockport Rattler.
It's no surprise.
And I like the guy's jig head idea, sitting, you know, if you put the spinnerbait on there, just throw it down the bottom. If you get the current, it'll stand it right up and start it spinning.
And that's what it was doing. That's exactly what it was doing. Every once in a while, he'd retrieve it a few inches.
Yeah, it'll stand right up and spin.
No, it was...
Great idea.
Yeah. I went to jig heads just simply because I was throwing that new bait caster, and I was having it all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it's... What, 5 years of circle hooks now, and you put me on a jig head? You know, I don't know how to act.
I know. Well,
now I know how you feel.
I like it. I think it's way better. I think circle hooks are the, you know, that's an evil curse that brought on by do-gooders who's never fished. I mean, circle hooks are part of fishing, but they're not the hook. They are just one of the hooks.
No,
I'm actually writing an article about it this month because I'm so sick of hearing these idiots using a catch and kill hook for a catch and release hook.
That's what bothers me. I don't know if you heard me or not, but when Carl was doing the seminar at the boat show, one of the guys says, "Well, aren't those new conversation hook or conservation hooks?" Stop. Time out. Carl, let me jump in here. You know, these things are catch and kill hooks. Always have been, always will be.
Circle hook was designed for catch and kill. And the reason is the fish can't get it out of his mouth. He can't get off. And
anybody whose livelihood depends on getting the fish to the boat have used circle hooks. The longliners have used them for decades. Polynesians have used them for eons.
And the whole thing about it is that you can't get it out of the fish's mouth properly. That's my big thing. Now, if you're putting the rods in the rod holder, I'm all about circle hooks. Just set them in the rod holder, let circle hook do their job, and that way you can take it out. But when I'm holding a rod, I'm good. I can actually set a hook.
It's no different than any other piece of tackle. It is a part of fishing. It is not the end-all, be-all of fishing.
It is one of the hooks to use, and
absolutely,
it has a good use, but it's not good for all uses.
Right.
Hate them on sharks. I want my...
No, me too. That's the one place that I agree with you, that circle hooks have absolutely zero place.
There's no way in the world I want somebody circle hook fishing for a shark, because you can't get it out of his mouth. You're going to rip it up, and you're not going to sit there and spend a lot of time by those teeth.
Yep. Now,
so,
the one place that I do
barb
find...
J-hook.
The one place that I do find that they work for sharks is when we go after those little sharks out on the shoal like you taught me a couple years ago. That is where I started using circle hooks for sharks, and it's only for those baby sharks. And the reason is because we're using small pieces of bait. We're using cut-up sardine, and the clients aren't used to feeling that bite in a current.
Yeah, I get you.
And we are getting a lot of gut hook sharks, and I don't want to gut hook baby sharks.
No, I never would.
That's our future.
But
so to stop that from happening, I went to the circle hooks, and it works well there.
Okay.
But
I'll give you
that one. At the same time, we're doing
the
same thing. We're doing the same thing that we do on our J hooks, and we're pinching the barbs down, so they come out much, much easier.
Yeah, you got to get rid of a barb on that. Can't use a barb on a shark.
Yep.
But anyway, we've been kind of rattling on about all different kinds of stuff, typical radio fishing. Sorry, guys, when we start on the topic, we fully intend on talking about that topic, but I don't know. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Yeah. I did like that new bait caster, by the way. I know you said I only used it for a day, but I'll tell you what.
All right,
I can tell you a good bait caster from a bad bait caster in about 5 minutes flat.
Okay, so talk about the bait caster. Tell me what it is.
It's the new Quantum Iron. You remember the old irons, the round, and they even had the big iron, which was a huge conventional conglomerate mess. And this thing is a new low-profile bait caster. It's a bigger body.
I was going to say, this thing looks like it's bordering. It'd be a great cobia reel. Looks like it'd be a good cobia reel. It's big.
It's great for our medium-sized game, your cobia, your small sharks, your large redfish and snook. I think it'll be perfect for that.
I think tarpon up to 60 pounds it would handle with no problem at all.
A ridiculous amount of drag on it for a low-profile bait caster. I think it was 24 pounds of drag.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Casted smooth. It was consistent, which is... That's where I'll tell you in 5 minutes if it's a good bait caster or not. you know, if it casts for five casts perfect and then all of a sudden pukes on you.
Right.
Because the magnets have warmed up or cooled off or whatever it is, it's this one stayed consistent throughout the whole day.
What's retail on them?
$199.
Well, it ought to be good. For $200, yeah. I want something good. So you actually think this new Quantum Iron Baitcaster is pretty good buy?
I do. I really do. For $200, yeah. I mean, most of your higher-end baitcasters are running in that range anyways. Yeah. Very few of them are saltwater rated.
Oh, and yeah, the Quantum Iron is saltwater reel, isn't it?
It is saltwater rated.
So, can you keep us up to date on how that Quantum Iron goes?
Well, I will. I mean, I'm a Quantum shill, but when it comes to baitcasters, I am very picky.
You've got all kinds of stuff on your boat. I don't own Quantum. I don't own Penn. I don't own Zebco. I wish I owned any one of them, but yeah. I don't. So, all I'm looking for is the person going to get his money out of that reel?
Yeah.
Is it going to work? Is it worth the money? Are you going to get a good, what's the dollar value is what I'm looking for.
I'll tell you another sleeper reel out there is the Fenor Lethal. It's the new $99 Fenor.
Spinning reel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We've got those.
And
now, what's the one I like from Fenor?
That's the Inshore.
Okay.
That's the next model up at $129.
It's at $130. It's a nice reel that I can sell them and never see them again.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever gotten a return on it. It's not a reel everybody's going to buy because not quite as nice as this one. It's a little bit from that one. But talk about get your money out of it.
Yeah. And I will probably say that I think the Lethal is better built.
Really?
At $99, $30 cheaper.
That would be hard to pull off.
How do you keep your prices down on a reel that's new?
No idea. Copy something else.
You go rob the parts bin.
So all they did was make a less expensive.
There's very few parts in that are specific to the Lethal. All of them, the majority of those parts have come out of other reels.
Right. Well, that's how they did that one baitcaster. They took a Boca body, a Fenor offshore spool, handles.
Yep.
They stuck the two of them together and produced a low-price bait runner.
Basically, what they did with the Lethal. Double-supported spool. Two bearings on your main shaft for your spool.
That's what you want.
Both of them have come from the Catalyst 20s.
Well, I'm not sure I'm happy with that.
Side plate bearings out of one of their offshore conventional reels.
Really?
In your main shaft bearing. Drag out of the Bocas.
Well, that was a good drag.
Main gear out of the Boca. The old Boca. Not the new one. The old Boca.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say, if it was a new one, I'm not going to go farther than that. But taking it out of the old Boca, that works.
The little screw that holds your main shaft to that little paw.
Yeah.
Come out of the old Boca 80s.
Really?
So that's a big screw.
Yeah, that's impressive.
The springs and rods that run the bail return out of the new Boca 80s.
Okay.
How they got those big old 80 size springs and levers into a little 40 is beyond me, but it's right there. You're going to see that it's overbuilt.
Well, so now, what's the name of this reel?
The Lethal.
The Lethal. I'll tell you guys, in the new world of fishing, Frank, I'm so reliant on my staff. It's unbelievable. I'm doing internet stuff. I have to do bookkeeping. I have to work on the floor and look at all this stuff. And it's the guys like Kale that actually keep me up as Fishing Frank. Without these guys, I'd be completely lost in today's world. I mean, we have so many clients. There's over 80,000 people a year coming through the store, and I just can't keep up anymore. Without you guys, I don't know what I'd be doing. But so we're going to call one of my favorite sleeper hits is the Fenor Inshore. But you're going to call this Lethal as an up-and-comer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, what's the Quantum Baitcaster again is what?
The Iron. Iron PT. And it comes in two speeds, high and low. 6.4 and 7.0 to 1.
I don't know if you need 7, but
and it's got you have two handle versions. You've got one with your normal double bait caster handle, right, and the other one has got a power handle.
Yeah, I would avoid that. I hate those power handles.
Yeah, I didn't
want
like
the double
either,
handle standard. Cause
I think if I'm out there throwing that guy for cobia, I think I want that power handle.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I'd say I wouldn't pay extra money for it.
It's no bigger.
I don't think I'd pay for it. If you had an option, one or the other, it'd be all right.
Yeah, and that's what it is. It is an option. You can get them with it or without it. Now, I wish they would have done what they did with the EXO and give you the power handle in the package so you could choose between the two.
That would be good. But we'll have to find out how much the power handles are and see what they cost, because it's all about how much you're going to spend if it's worth
exactly.
it.
Exactly, exactly.
Baitcasters are better for throwing. Baitcasters don't throw bait well at all, by the way.
Right.
We use them on lures. You have a very close connection from the tip of your rod to the lure. It's tighter. There's no very little slack. So if you want to stop it, it stops immediately. It's great. I won't use them on jigs in more than 4 or 5 feet of water because it's a ridiculous thing, because the jig always comes back too close.
Right.
I want to, but for my spoons, my topwaters, even crankbaits, spinner baits,
great
all that stuff,
it.
I
great
love throwing the bait casters.
Now,
it's way better,
like,
especially on spoons.
I like using them for skipping chunks of ladyfish underneath the mangroves. I love a bait caster for that because I've got more control of the line. I've already got my thumb on it.
When you put your thumb down, it stops.
It's
only going a couple inches, where with a spinning rod, even when you grab the line, that bait could still travel 2, 3, 4 feet.
And it takes you time to get your hand up there and grab that line and stop it. You know, it's all about reflexes.
Quick like cat, though. I can get it or grab quick.
But I like it. I can sit there and watch that thing and just pop my thumb on the spool and it
stops. I'll have to try one. We'll go out fishing and let me play with it for a while. Anyway, well, I guess we've been here a little while, kind of getting sidetracked and retracked around. Our producer's yelling at you.
Yeah.
Yes, Frank.
But hey, our internet speeds have been upgraded. We can make bigger radio files now.
Yeah, well, this is a half-hour show we've been
doing.
There you go. So, anyway, any last words, Captain Cal?
Stay warm out there, guys.
Yep. I'm sitting here looking at my controls going, where is my volume? And then I remembered I'm running it off the speakers. Okay. All right, slow down. Okay. With the music running in the background, we've got a bunch of new music, bunch of new stuff. Kale's doing a real good job of getting us moved. And thank God Kale was here to help me get all this stuff moved. Actually, just not help me. Kale did it all. And you guys are going to get a much better website, much better programs. All that will be coming up in the next few days.
Definitely.
Thanks for bearing with us, and don't worry, your radio fishing is going to be back. We've had several guys coming and going, I'm Jones, and I go to play the radio, and it's not there, but it will be bigger and better over the next few days, so bear with us, guys.
Who thought that we would turn a radio show into internet crack?
That's it. Okay. I got to go. See you guys. Bye-bye.